Well, today, brethren, we have the opportunity to have a split sermon format. So to bring us the first message, Mr. Dan McGee.
Thank you, Mr. Meininger, Mr. Freyer. Good afternoon, brethren. Happy Sabbath. Really? Come on. Happy Sabbath?
Happy Sabbath.
All right, let's do this. This week, 74 years ago, marked a time frame where young men from various parts of the world on June 6th were going about to deal with different idealisms. And for the thousands that were involved, they saw things and did things that they had to do to preserve a way of life. And brethren, when we think of our differences become one, if you'll look in your hymnals in page number 171, it's one faith, one love. And upon the loom, our differences become one. And we know that God himself is not a God of war, but he's a God of love and peace. A God that spreads his loving message throughout the entire world. He made all things. He created all things, and everything was made by him. He's the author, creator, judge, and he does so much for us. Turn with me, if you would, over to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, very familiar scripture, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Prince of Peace." Verse 7, "And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom." When we think of one faith and one love, is the epitome of how this universe is ruled by God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. And when he returns and they bind the adversary and eventually destroy the adversary, we know that there will be nothing but peace and love and goodness and kindness, because it says it right here in the Bible. And as the universe continues to expand, the angels that reside in the third heaven are weaving into the fabric of eternity the second heavens, which is space, the physical universe, formed and fashioned in God's will and God's way. And as we pray, "Thy kingdom come," it's a thought process, it's an actual place. But we have to live it. We have to learn to live God's way of life on earth as it is in heaven. And as this universe continues to expand, so will God's peace and so will God's love. But we have to be of one faith towards one another, towards God, pleasing him, doing the things that are pleasing unto him. As we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, you can write it down. It says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Every knee will bow to our soon coming King, Jesus the Christ. That's a fact. That is a fact. And then when we think of the one love, and we can write this down in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. And I'll read 1 John 4 and verse 7 through 9. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." Verse 8, "And anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this the love of God has made manifest among us, that sent God his only that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Brethren, the sacrifice has been made. Our calling is here. We have to take advantage of it. That's the ESV version. And what we have to come to understand is God in the oneness is all-encompassing. This whole universe operates under the whole Holy Spirit. I think we limit at times, I know I have in the past, we limit the expanse of what God's Holy Spirit, not only does it involve us as individuals, but it also involves the creation of the whole universe, the ever-expanding universe that science continues to be amazed at, that is continuing to expand, and that we continue to hurtle through the universe as a planet. God's oneness is all-encompassing. Everything exists because of him, because of his Spirit. And you know, if we see ourselves as one thin thread, but yet and still, we can, by ourselves, we cannot stand. We'll be tossed to and fro. But woven into the oneness of God's family, we will continue to solidify as a fabric. There's not one of you in here that are not affected by the loom. And I say that, not the loon, not the bird up in Wisconsin, but the loom. Because all of you have clothes on today. At least I hope you do. And up on the loom, when a fabric is made and tightly woven together, and we'll get more into that, but it's so amazing to watch and to see how it puts out so much fabric at one time once the machine is set up. And in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, you can turn there, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. It says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, the good news, so that whether I come to see you or by am absent, I may hear of that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. That's you. That's me. That is all of us. And see, God's word, God's family, God's church is the embodiment of oneness. Turn with me over to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah 32, and we'll begin in verse 38. In Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 38, it says, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. What's your name? I'm your God. I am that. I am. I am this chair. I am your friend. I am the creator of this universe. My Holy Spirit travels throughout the entire universe in a broad expanse. In verse 39 it says, and I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever for the good of them and the children after them. Brethren, that's us. So that we understand who it is, what it is that we're supposed to do. It is a pure existence when we start to remove the ways of Satan, the wants of Satan's world, what he describes as lucrative, and we decide to say, no, you know what? That's not what I want. I want to do God's will. I want to do God's way. In John chapter 17, John chapter 17, beginning in verse 20. It says in verse 20 of John chapter 17, it says, I do not pray for these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that we are one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Brethren, there's no doubt who God is and what he's here for. And see, you got to understand who wants to permeate the universe but the one that is ostracized. He's no longer part of the fold. He's no longer part of the fabric of existence. He's no longer amongst the cool people. Because we're the cool people. We're God's people. And God loves us. And no matter how much our adversary tries to portray us as being odd and weird and different, guess what? As time goes along, the whole entire universe, this whole entire planet, there's one little itty bitty planet amongst billions and trillions of stars that comes to understand, oh, maybe there is no God. Oh, well, God's maybe not that powerful. Brethren, God is all powerful. And we're with him. We're part of that. In 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 12, it's so exciting to be a part of God's plan. It's so exciting to understand as God gives us more and more understanding. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of the one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, or have all been made to drink into one Spirit." What do we see right now? Division. Division, division, division. I don't like you because you're a star-bellied snoot. And I'm a plain-bellied snoot. Or I don't like you because you're purple and I'm not purple. Or I don't like you because you believe this and I believe that. That's not of God. That's not of God, brethren. See, when we come to understand the greatness of God and how he's including us into his calling, into the very fabric of his being, think of a piece of cloth, of material, just wrapping around the entire universe. And you're one of those threads being compacted into that loom and being unfurled like a flag. Picture yourself as part of the fabric of God's existence. Picture yourself seeing God, doing the things with God, laughing with God. I can't wait to hear that thunderous laugh of God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. Yes, he deals with all of this, but you know what? This is small potatoes compared to what he's doing. He's got trillions and trillions of things going on all across the universe. All across the universe. And none of it is too great for him. He understands what you're going through because he's not governed by time, space, or matter. And we have a hard time wrapping our minds around that. You say, well, you look in the Old Testament, you know, they had to wait, or they came down to look and see what's happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, brethren, but do you think that God wasn't aware of it? Why do you think they showed up in the first place? 400 years of slavery for the Israelites. He knew what was going on, but in his perfect timing, he came back when he needed to come back so that we would understand. God doesn't operate on our clock. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, and I'll just read this to you. It says, "And the multitude of them that believed were one heart and one soul, neither said anything of them that ought of the things which were possessed of his own, but they had all things in common." Brethren, why does it take hard times before we realize, man, we're all in this together? See, wealth divides sometimes, at times, not all the time. But when we think we're wealthy, material wealth, but when we are wealthy with God's Holy Spirit, all of that diminishes. Why? Because we realize, yes, we need these things. But doesn't he say in Matthew 6 and verse 33, "I already know what you need. Ask me and I'll give it to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 12, verse 4. Bring this up because it's so exciting to understand how much God has involved us into his life. How much would any of the leaders of any of the countries involve you unless you have wealth or unless you have something to give to them? They don't care about you. But we're talking about the God of this universe. Who's saying to you, what's your name? You. You're on my team. You're one of the cool people. Don't let that go to your head, but you're one of the cool people. What makes you cool? My Holy Spirit in you. The love that you gather from that. The peace that you're willing to hash out to everyone. Romans chapter 12 and verse 4. It says, For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have one the same function. So being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Brethren, we are one body and we stand united. Again, how do you conquer a nation? Divide it. Conquer it. As it says in Amos 3:3, no two can walk together unless they be agreed. See, we have to determine in our minds that God's will is going to govern our thought process. And we find peace, we find solace in that understanding. And see, therein lies the challenge, because when we start to give up the self-serving, misguided thoughts that put ourselves above everyone else, when we give those up, we start to see what real value is. See, this mentality plagues the world. All during the course of our lifetimes. And it has plagued us and still can plague us if we allow it to. But we must resist the proud and haughty and emanating the frivolity of the broadcast that we see 24/7 coming from all the media. When God says, come out of her, my people. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. In Ephesians chapter 4, let's begin in verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I'm not making this up. These are scriptures straight from the Bible. These are straight from the source. See, every aspect of this universe was thought out by God. Does he know that what everything's going to happen? No, he can. But he chooses to allow us to make our own decisions. We are free moral agents. I'm going to wait because I'm going to let the sign person get settled. All right. So that if we choose life, give up all of what we think about in terms of worldliness, in terms of monetary wealth, in terms of self-aggrandizement, in terms of things that aren't of God, when we give those things up and we decide to become that loving, caring, humble servant that God would have us to be, we become part of His team. We become part of more than just His team, His family. His family. We don't want to rebel against the love that God's offering us. We don't. It's not worth it. God's love is so stupendous, so mesmerizing, so real. We do not want to see the things that this world has to offer. The media outlets, they love violence. Love it. Most of your shows, most of your news outlets, they love the violence. Brethren, we can't do anything with that except pray, Thy kingdom come, and pray. And once we start tapping into God's Holy Spirit, once we start flowing with the Spirit that resonates throughout the universe, once we start thinking towards the light rather than shedding the darkness, all of this world's wickedness starts to disappear. Our focus comes into being knowing that, yes, it's going to happen. We know prophetic things are going to happen. But that doesn't change who you have to be. You have to continually be that loving, serving, giving individual. No matter what. Because this is for a short time. Christ only spent 33 and a half years upon this earth. Even if we spent, as Methuselah, 969 years, it's still just a blink of an eye compared to eternity. And we have to see this. We have to gather the vision and understand how great this universe is. How many billions and trillions of stars there are. How big and how vast is the universe. How big and how vast is God. How great His Spirit is that hovers over the entire universe. Up on the loom, our differences become one. See, it's hard as a finite being to grasp everything that God has in store for us. But we're a spark of energy. You know, it's interesting when you look at the brain synaptic nerves, and when you're learning something, it sparks. And not only does it spark, but when it becomes a memory, and as you start to talk about it and learn more about it, it becomes connected. If you look at a picture of the universe and you look at the synaptic nerves in your brain, they look pretty similar. We got to understand, you're not in this by yourself. You are accountable for you, but you're definitely not in this by yourself. See, we may be one thin thread, but again, as we weave our way into the fabric of existence, the fabric of eternity, we become part of His plan. See, we have to choose to be a part of God's master plan. We are joined with the threads and we become part of the woven fabric of what will continue for eternity, forever weaving our thread throughout the cloth of existence. As it says in the song, in One Faith, One Love, it says, through each thread our glory is extended. Brethren, we're different, and that's fantastic. But we're still all one. If you go with me over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 3, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, not war, in love and peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called into one hope of your calling, again, I've read this before, but of one faith. And we want to know, Father God, that we want to know that we're part of His plan. He includes us. He is the great I Am. And the Elohim, the family of God, is including you as part of that plan. In James chapter 3 and verse 17, James chapter 3 and beginning in verse 17, it says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruits of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Brethren, God's word is sagacious. Sagacious, having or knowing keen mental discernment of good judgment, wise, clever, intelligent, knowledgeable, sensible, sage of existence. That's us, brethren. Every time we get on our knees to pray, every time we open this book to learn to study, we learn. We become sagacious beings in understanding that it is the sage. And I know I'm throwing these words out here, but the sage is a profoundly wise man or woman, especially one who features in ancient history or legend, sensible, intellect, erudite. Not the spice. Brethren, we're part of that. We are that. We're becoming that. It is the Elohim that is here to harvest us to make peace. You cannot find peace in foolish ramblings or what is considered newsworthy in today's society. Positive times positive does not equal positive with the rhetoric imposed by the pundits and the talking heads that we see that do not understand what real wisdom is. He confounds the mighty. Take your ideas, take God's word and go talk to a city council person and see how much time you get. Or if you'll be escorted out by security as a crackpot. But we know that God's word is real. You don't have to be a great person to understand who and what God is. If you feel worn out from the world's events, turn off the negativity. Don't dwell on such things. Again, we are seeking first His kingdom. We focus on what He did as well as what He said. And we have to do likewise. Greatness is within you. Not only in the world tomorrow, but now. See, Jesus Christ performed those miracles 2,000 years ago. What was different about Him? He was God on earth, yes, but He was a human being. Let's go over to Jude, right before Revelations. In Jude, only one chapter, begin in verse 3. It says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write you to concerning the common salvation, I found it necessary to write you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." Brethren, that's you. Earnestly desired to get this word to you. The men that come up on this stage earnestly desire that you continue to fight the good fight. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Do the things that are pleasing unto God when you know that you're looked upon as an oddity. It is such a great calling that we have. Going on in Jude, I'm picking it up in verse 4. "For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 5, "But I want to remind you through you once knew that The Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. For the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode have reserved into everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Brethren, God's plan involves a merciful following that everybody gets an actual chance. Everybody gets an actual chance to understand what God is. There's religions out there that would say, nope, you didn't know God, you're gone. Boom, you're out of here, buddy. That is not the loving God that we serve. And there are people who get up every week, the first day of the week, and will preach such things. But brethren, we know better. We know that our God is a loving God, a peaceful God, a God who is aware of what you need, when you need it, why you need it, and whether or not you do need it. Because sometimes the answer is no, or not right now. We can't consider this calling, this great and precious calling, being menial or fruitless, unfruitful. Rather, see this calling as the greatest, absolute greatest gift that ever has been bestowed upon you. Ever. You could win the lottery, and it's not worth what God is giving you. Our inclusion into the fabric of existence for the entire universe is unique. And we have to give thanks to God for our high calling.